Synthetic biology is a new approach to biology. But for a career in the field, you don't need to be a biologist.
Contributing editor Kate Travis talks with three scientists, each at different stages of their careers, about how they've come to work in synthetic biology.
The major challenge of synthetic biology is to design and create living organisms. To do that, scientists in several disciplines will be working to gain a fundamental understanding of how living systems operate. One of those scientists is Natalio Krasnogor, an associate professor of computer science at the University of Nottingham.
Funding agencies and biologist colleagues see computer scientists as only providing some database systems. Well, in the case of synthetic biology, we can do much, much more than that. We can explore model checking of biological systems. We can do the verification of these systems. We can do optimization of the complete pipeline of the system biology life cycle. So for a computer scientist, this really is a wild west being open for us to do new and exciting things.
And what's exciting to Krasnogor about synthetic biology is the potential to create living factories that can manufacture any chemical structure.
It is assumed that if we could harness the ultimate ability of living organisms to manufacture from the bottom up, we could put them to good use, to very practical use, from environmental remediation to biofuels, to lifelong well-being, healthcare, to human-computer interfaces. So really, it's an extremely ambitious project.
The four main branches of synthetic biology are computer science, engineering, mathematics, and of course, biology. Krasnogor started out studying electrical engineering in his native Argentina. He then switched to computer science.
So I finished my undergrads in Argentina and I did a PhD in Britain on optimization methods, a type of method called memetic algorithms, which is one of the most successful automated decision support systems available. So I did this, and the application domain was on bioinformatics. So I applied that to protein structure prediction and protein structure comparison.
Krasnogor went on to do a postdoc at the University of Nottingham in the Department of Theoretical Chemistry, where he worked on applying the algorithms he'd developed to different methods of comparing and predicting protein structure. Now, he also works on research he calls infobiotics, which involves developing executable biology and machine learning methods for synthetic and systems biology.
I think somehow it's still in an embryonic period. Lots of things are happening in different labs, coming from different disciplines, and I think these are very exciting times.
One of those disciplines is engineering. Kim DeMora got his first degree in mechanical engineering. Now, he's pursuing a PhD at the University of Edinburgh in synthetic biology.
I view synthetic biology as being an engineering discipline, and it's kind of the engineering discipline, whereas systems biology would be the academic discipline.
He says what changed his course from engineering to synthetic biology was the International Genetically Engineered Machine Competition, or iGEM, in 2006.
I was looking for something to do the summer after I had graduated, rather. Well, it came about during my last term, and the guy that was to become my future PhD supervisor sent around an email that they were looking for people for this project over the summer. And our project consisted of, in the 10-week duration of the competition, making an arsenic biosensor, or rather a strain of bacteria that could sense arsenic and would emit a pH signal in the media that it was in.
DeMora has spent the last year in a synthetic biology lab at Harvard working on research in yeast. He says the change from engineering to yeast synthetic biology has been a challenge, but he doesn't consider it an obstacle.
Pretty much throw myself in the deep end, and it's been working pretty well thus far. Now, I find that I don't have the in-depth biological knowledge that some of my colleagues do, but it's not that much of a problem. Engineers are very much trained as problem solvers. So coming in, we tend to take a different point of view to the biologists who might view things from a more scientific point of view.
And that biological point of view is critical if synthetic biologists are going to meet their goal of designing and creating a living organism. One biologist working toward that goal is John Glass. He's a senior scientist in the synthetic biology group at the J. Craig Venter Institute in Rockville, Maryland.
Really, at the heart of synthetic biology, it is imagining something that you might think a living organism can do and trying to imagine how you might engineer that organism to do this. If you constrain yourself by what seems easy, you won't get there. You've got to think on a grand scale, because that's what this process is about, or this discipline is about.
Glass was trained as a virologist and then changed fields to bacterial pathogenesis and eventually into bacterial genomics. He worked in the infectious diseases research division at Eli Lilly until the company decided to discontinue that research program. Then came the opportunity at the Venter Institute.
I had become an expert in mycoplasmas, which are an exceedingly simple kind of bacteria that would be a logical platform for building the first synthetic organisms. And that was exactly what the Venter Institute needed, I think, at that time, was someone with mycoplasmology skills. And I had been thinking about what was the minimal gene set and what it would take to build a synthetic organism for some time before I got here.
And earlier this year, Glass and his colleagues took a step toward building a synthetic organism. In a paper published in Science, they reported they had chemically synthesized, assembled, and cloned the smallest genome of any independently replicating cell, the Mycoplasma genitalium.
It's an extraordinary time to be a biologist because of the tools that we have, and synthetic biology leverages all of these things.
And just as John Glass, Kim DeMora, and Natalio Krasnogor have done, leveraging your scientific background is the primary way to get a career in synthetic biology. Right now, there are only a few specialized degree programs in synthetic biology, but a growing number of universities are creating programs that will specifically prepare scientists for synthetic biology research, meaning that the field will be growing and evolving for many years to come. For Science Careers, this is Kate Travis.
On the Science Careers website this week, contributing editor Elizabeth Pan writes about opportunities in synthetic biology and profiles three scientists in the field. Find them online at sciencecareers.org.